St. Paul has written so beautifully about death in both of its forms. In his writings, he shows that he truly does understand the secrets of the human heart. He wrote, first of all, about death that arises out of our selfishness. And there was so much of that present in the death of Jesus. They killed Jesus because of their selfish concern about their own economic security. And they killed him because of their selfish concern about their own very narrow, religious views. And they killed him because of their selfish concerns over their super patriotism. And all of that self-centeredness converged on Jesus Christ, and he was murdered. Now today, it is important for us people to honestly recognize that sometimes our own selfishness is so incredibly great that at times we become so insensitive that we hurt people. Most of all those people who are closest to us. And it's possible even to become so hardened that we no longer are even aware of what it is that we are doing to them. But we do need to be aware of that. The potential to hurt people through selfishness is in every one's heart. And so often it spills out, and then there's a kind of death that results. A death to peace in the family. A death to the harmony that should exist in the place of work. A death to the decency in the relations among peoples and nations in this world. And yet, St. Paul cries out that in the midst of all this selfishness, our God still lives on. That there is no death so great, not even the death of his Son, over which God will not be able to triumph. And the incredible thing, St. Paul tells us, is that our God does love us so much that he comes into our lives in exactly the right way in which we need him, if we allow our heart to be open to welcome him. If it is forgiveness that we need, then forgiveness we will get. If it is guidance that we need, light and guidance will be given to us. If it is courage and strength that we need, then courage and strength will be offered to us. That, St. Paul says, is truly the beautiful miracle of the living God's resurrection power available in our heart, especially through prayer. The resurrection power of our God is always there in the form that we need it most. That God who lives on is present to us, is present within us through his Spirit, breaking through all of those deaths that are caused by our selfishness in whatever form. In George Bernard Shaw's Joan of Arc, when Joan is about to be burned to the stake, she cries out, God lives on, conquering all the death wishes and the death actions of human selfishness. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But there's also another kind of death that St. Paul speaks about. It's very different from selfishness. He speaks about our own finiteness. Reminds us that each of us is so frail, fragile, finite human being, that every one of us, even now at this moment, is just a heartbeat away from death of the body. One more reason why we should enjoy the gift of life given to us by the Lord. But because each of us is only a heartbeat away, this becomes a threat to us, and a threat to God, who created us for life. It is there too on the cross. That was a real death. Jesus died a real death on the cross. It was not an imitation, not a charade. And the gospel writers want us to understand that. One of the reasons is, knowing our human hearts, it is necessary for all people as the ages go on to face their own death, to confront it realistically and honestly. Because only then are we prepared to live our lives out creatively and even enthusiastically. We cannot live the way we should unless we have included in the economy of our life that fact of our physical death someday, and also the death of those people that we love. Nowadays, social scientists tell us that practically all people come to the acceptance of their death sometime in the early 40s, or at least by the mid-40s. And having accepted that, they continue their life then with a great feeling of freedom and creativity. As Thomas More says in A Man for All Seasons, death comes for us all, even for kings he comes. And yet in spite of that assault of death caused by our finiteness as human beings, St. Paul cries out again, God lives on. The God who loves us so much that in this life he has given us the appropriate body that we need, that same God can be trusted to give us the appropriate spiritual body for the next life, a transformation into a new mode of existence, mostly energy. God lives on in the mystery. Any of you who have traveled to the New England states, without a doubt, especially in the small towns, discovered that the old churches that go back to the 18th century always would put their cemetery next to the church building, very much like the cemetery the sisters have out here near this chapel. In those days, years gone by, it was a regular Sunday afternoon custom to take a walk in the cemetery, a leisurely stroll, good for the health, exercise. And the people who cut the gravestones in those days knew that many people would see their handiwork. And so gravestone cutting became an early American art form. These stone cutters created pictures on the gravestones that conveyed the real Christian meaning for these Sunday afternoon strollers. And they also placed an appropriate epitaph on each stone. So you can imagine if you were walking in the cemetery on a Sunday afternoon, suddenly you were confronted with this gravestone epitaph. Behold and see, as you pass by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. Prepare for death and follow me. That certainly is a direct, honest statement. And those kind of statements, epitaphs, appear on so many sermon stones. That's the way they were called, sermon stones. Some of them unintentionally have a grain of humor in them, like the one She lived with her husband 50 years and died in a confident hope of a better life. Now I make mention of these sermon stones to make the point that in the midst of all the examples of those stones, every one of them in a way reflects the victory over death. One says, "Death now has conquered me, but Christ shall conquer death, and I shall rise again." And if you can imagine that inscription on your own tombstone, then you really have caught the right spirit of the New Testament. The one of the husband and wife buried side by side has this inscription: "See, here they sleep in this small room, confined within the ground. They wait to see their Savior come with glory flaming round." With glory flaming round. Glory is always flaming round because God has triumphed over our physical death. God lives on. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we are one. No death, St. Paul says, whether caused by our selfishness or caused by our finiteness, will ever triumph over God. Our God is the creator of our life, and our God is the sustainer of our life, moment by moment by moment by heartbeat. He continually renews our life. He gives us a new life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is summed up in today's beautiful gospel lesson, in those words: "God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not die, but may have eternal life now." That promise is in the present tense, that eternal life now is ours. By the gift of our faith, we already now possess eternal life. God's Spirit dwells in our heart now. The anticipation of what is to come is already ours now. That is the good news, that God, who made us, became one of us to tell us he loves us and to tell us that we already do have eternal life now. Thank you. Let us renew our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light.